It's good to see y'all on this Mother's Day slash Baby Dedication Day. This is one of my favorite days here at Forest Mill. And it was really early on when I hadn't been here very long at all, my very first year, and we did this, and I thought, this is fantastic. Just to see the parents and their kids and the elders encouraging them and speaking the blessings over them, and we as a body dedicating ourselves to be the church that will support and love and care for these families. I think that's just a great picture of a healthy church family. So it is a great day, and happy Mother's Day to you mothers. It is good to have you all with us this morning. And I was thinking, I'm trying to keep it short this morning, and so I started thinking about stories that sort of epitomize mothers, and I was thinking back to stories of my own mother, but I came across this one story from a lady named Talia Torres, and it appeared in Reader's Digest several years ago. But she said she and her mother were at the mall, and her mother had just finished taking this CPR course at a local college. And so as they're walking around the mall, she and her mom, they see a crowd gathered around a body that was laying on the floor. And so her mother, she says, my mother took off running at a speed I did not know she could possess. And she said, everyone move back. I know CPR. And she threw herself onto the ground beside this body. And then this strong pair of hands grabbed her and pulled her up. Ma'am, said the police officer, we're trying to arrest this man. But I thought it was a great picture of a mother. Just sort of heedless of the situation. I'm going to go in. I'm going to take care of this. Mothers are a special group of people. So much so that we often take their mother nature for their mothering nature for granted. We take mother nature for granted too, but we take the nature of mothers for granted. It's just a presence we expect, whether we were the recipient of that and we had our own mothers who loved and cared for us, or we met people who were great mothers later. Whether you are a mother like this, or you get to help be a mother like this. We are lucky, and I don't mean lucky, I mean fortunate, to have mothers. But what is it that makes moms different? I mean, what is it that makes moms special? Why is it that we think of moms in a different way than we do friends or neighbors or even dads? Like we have a different association for moms and dads when they fulfill some of the same roles. And I realize here at Forest Mill that we are really, really blessed because we have not only a great number of mothers, but we have a great variety of mothers as well, right? Some of you, we have mothers who have given birth to their kids and they have raised them and loved them and cared for them all the way through. We have mothers who did not give birth, but who have chosen to raise adopted children and foster children as their own with this same sort of love. We have grandmothers and aunts and family members who have chosen to love kids and invest themselves selflessly in the lives of these kids. All mothers in my book. I mean, all of these wonderful, beautiful, godly women doing what God made a mother to do. I am less interested in whether you gave birth and more interested in the ways you represent God to the kids you love. And so I want to make it clear that all of these beautiful, wonderful women bear the image of God in a way that not everyone can, okay? All the way back in Genesis 1, it's a pretty familiar passage, but this is what God says. God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, right? God is making mankind, or humankind, as it's quoted up here, because mankind doesn't mean all men. It means humanity, right? Let us make humanity in our image and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God made humankind in his image. In the image of God, he made the male and female. Now, This tells us a couple of things. One, it tells us God made men and women. That's really important that we realize God made men and women both, right? But what it's also saying here is that both men and women equally bear the image of God. And I think sometimes we can skip right over that. I think we can miss the fact that women are equal image bearers of God with men. God is big. Let's think about it this way. God is big, right? God is great, great, great big. Bigger than any single way we can describe him. Bigger than we can possibly imagine. Greater than we can describe. More than we can fathom. Our God is enormous, right? That's why God is described in so many different ways in Scripture. There's not like one single word to always describe God. He's described as a king and a shepherd. He's a warrior and a father. He is a scorned lover and an eager bridegroom. God is all of these things and much, much more. He is a rock and a fortress. He is both the builder and the destroyer. God is both the creator and the redeemer, right? There is no one way, no one word, no one idea that can fully capture God because he's just so much more, right? And that's why God had a strong prohibition against attempting to corner him into one single thing, right? You could not just say, here is a golden calf. This encapsulates what God is. God is like this golden calf. Or God is like this lion, great fierce predator. Or God is like this goat that provides for most of our needs here in the wilderness. God is too big for any one to description. And so to attempt to limit God to any one image, that's too constraining, too limiting. And it's called idolatry, right? When you attempt to say God is just this, that's idolatry. That's the very definition is trying to put the corner on God and try to limit God to any one thing. So while we are more familiar with the male descriptions of God in Scripture, because Scripture was written primarily for men, so God is primarily described in male ways. But Scripture also goes out of its way to describe God in female terms, as a bride, as a female servant, and especially as a mother. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 49, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord, my God, has forgotten me. The Lord has forgotten me. Right? They are off in exile, and they're thinking, God has forgotten us. And God says, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget. I am like a mother who has given birth to you. I could not possibly forget you. And so throughout Scripture, we just see God described and depicted in these feminine terms. We see God described as giving birth. We see God described as feeding. And the idea there is breastfeeding. We see God described as weaning this child, as teaching her children to walk, as holding her children on her knee. All motherly descriptions of God. And these tender, loving pictures of God show that God cannot just be the warrior. God is also this compassionate, loving caregiver. That, guys, you may be gifted in that area, but most of us are not. There is something about God in that picture, but that's not the only, that's not the sum total of what it means to be a woman or a mother. There's other sides to being a woman or being a mother as well. In Hosea, God is also described as an angry mother bear defending her cubs. Mama bears, you know who you are, right? There is something fierce in a mother's love. And God says, when God gets angry and upset about his children and their lives in peril, she describes herself in feminine terms like a mother bear. So it would be wrong of us to just say God is just male, right? Because that would be idolatry. If we said God is just a man, and in what sense would God be a man? Does God have chest hair? Is that what makes him a man? Now, what is it that makes God male? There's no way. God is a spirit, right? So everything we think of as being male is physical, and there's also some mentality there. And yet God goes out of his way, or out of her way, to be described in feminine terms on the inside as well. That God is both male and female. And it would be wrong to limit our idea of God to just male, just as it would be wrong to just limit our ideas about God as being just female, or limiting our ideas of God to just being the creator, or limiting our ideas of God to just being the redeemer. God is all of this and more. It is so much more. And when we attempt to bring God down into one single idea, that's our idolatry. And so mothers today, if you want, this is going to be a really short message. I tried really hard because for baby dedication, nobody wants to sit here with babies that long. All right, so what we're going to try to narrow down here is that mothers, we are reminded of the ways that you bear the image of God to all of us this morning in your tender and fierce love. I'm reminded of a lyric from the great American poets and philosophers, the Confederate Railroad. They were before your time, but they had this great song. It was called Jesus and Mama. You may or may not remember it, but this is the lyrics from the chorus. It said, Jesus and Mama always loved me, even when the devil took control. Jesus and Mama always loved me, this I know. So glad Tommy related a little bit of Jesus loves me. Yeah. That's one thing you can always know, that Jesus and Mama always loved. They may not approve of what you are doing or what you have done, but that love is there. It is present. It is tender, and it is fierce, and it is after you. This love, this mother's love, is after you. And so this morning, we need to give thanks for our mothers, or for those who played those roles in our lives, for the mothers we have in our congregation, and for the great love that they represent to their children and to the other kids throughout the congregation. We need to give thanks for the ways that they show God's feminine side to us. We need to give thanks that God has fully invested himself in both men and women in a way that's beyond our comprehension. And this morning, if you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you are discouraged or need encouragement, if you need forgiveness, if you need help in any way, and we can do that for you this morning, don't wait any longer. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son.
Thank you, Dustin. As I stand here, I'm reminded of my mother, who left this world a little over 14 years ago, and the graciousness and the love that she instilled and showed me. All these traits of God, I learned so very much from my mother, and I know so many of us can say that very same thing. And so it's with great love that I feel for my mother, and that I cherish those thoughts, and I feel her love even to this day, and it's very strong and powerful. But as strong a bond as we had, there's a bond that is stronger with our Lord and our Savior. And He loves us so very much. Jesus gave everything for each one of us. And as we leave here today, may we in turn give all that we can to Him, to show people in this world how much He means to us and how much He loves every one of us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You so much for mothers. We thank You for the gift that they are to each one of us. Father, may we learn from their love, and more than that, Father, may we realize the love that You have for us. Father, as we leave here today, let us share Your love with this world. Let us share Your Son with this world. Let us lift up Jesus, a name above all names, Father. We thank You so much for the blessings and the gift of grace that we have through Him. It's in His name we offer this prayer. Amen.